Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky, and as always, you're going to hear from Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart right now.
Oh, hello, Dave. Hello, Jess. Good to be here.
Hi, Jess.
Oh, Jess is, she's fucking with you. She's not going to talk. She said she was going to talk, so she's not going to talk.
Well, I don't.
Sass twins.
I don't even want you to talk, Jess.
Well, you bloody.
She never does what I say. Jess, hey. Don't slap yourself in the face.
I'm not an idiot, Dave.
Well, that would have worked on me.
Matt, hey, Dave, don't slap yourself in the face. It worked on him.
Hey, Dave, why don't you know on the live episodes you do this, but you never in the studio audiences, you never start by going
studio audiences.
Yeah.
I have noticed that multiple people now have commented that they really enjoy that I do that. And I never noticed that I did that. And I'm glad that I was bringing joy without even knowing it. So basically, we do the live episodes if you haven't heard one. And as I approach the stage, sometimes it feels like the theme song isn't enough to get the applause going that starts a live show. So I approach the microphone by going, yeah! And then people applaud. And wow.
You're a natural born hype man.
Yeah.
Oh, I live to hype.
It's yeah.
In your blood.
And you hype to live.
Oh, anyway, shall we do this show?
Yes, we should do this show.
Let me explain to you. Now, this is a show where one of the three of us is going to report on a topic to the other two. They don't know what it is. And it's me.
It's me.
That's going to report.
That's going to report. It's me. It's the top.
Ick.
Ick.
And you're going to start by asking a question. And that question, Dave, today, tonight.
I think I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. No, I never get Dave's. He's a hard.
Well, I've gone more open philosophical with this question.
Fuck. I need very specific.
Okay. So, Jess, you want a specific question? Well, it is still open.
It's fine.
Is the most terrifying transport?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Boat. Airplane.
It is an airplane. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
It's also, I said airplane meaning seaplane, but I got it technically by saying airplane. Now I'm the idiot.
Airplane's amazing. I would have thought it would have been something like monster dog truck or something.
Yeah, monster dog truck. And I wish you wouldn't say that when we just said we're flying to Sydney.
I was about to say we've traveled interstate together, but I don't know if all three of us have ever been on the same flight.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I think that might be because just like the president can't travel with the vice president.
And the original Big Bopper.
But also,
we don't want to fall for that again.
We're
Big
not
Bopper
going up,
famously died in a plane crash.
We're not
going
to go up, the three of us together, to Sydney anyway.
Great. Good. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm flying up from Tassie because I got a gig down at Joker's. If you're there on the Wednesday before whatever that date is, you should go down.
It'll be the 22nd of August.
22nd of August. And if you're in Hobart, come see me at the Joker's Comedy Club.
Nice. I think we'll all be separate on the way up. Maybe on the way back, we'll finally have the Holy Trinity on one airplane.
Adorable. I can't handle it.
One full row of do-go-ons.
And we can finally say, welcome to plane. It's a deep cut. Anyway, so your report's about aeroplane.
Well, one specific aeroplane.
Oh.
And I'm sorry, Jess, this may put you off flying for a little bit.
Don't. I mean, I'm literally flying. I'm flying to Sydney next weekend. Don't do that.
Is it a ghost plane?
Ooh, okay, I'm back on board if it is.
I gasped within my gasp. My normal gasp did a mini gasp inside of it. Did you hear that? That was cool.
That was cool.
Double gasp.
Ghost
gasp. All right, what plane are you talking about?
So this topic was suggested by Connor Wilson from Ireland. Connor is at Full Metal Fleece on Twitter. Go check him out. All right, so my topic is all about Juliana Kupka. Have you ever heard of this name?
No, is she an aeroplane?
No, but she had a brush with an aeroplane in the 1970s.
She had a brush with one?
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Walking down the street, they just touch shoulders?
No. So she brushed her braids with an aeroplane in the 1970s.
She brushed braids?
Yeah. It was the 70s, Jess.
That would be hard.
It's a different time.
You weren't alive. Matt was.
True. Yeah.
We were all doing it back then.
Brushing braids.
Brushing our braids. Yeah. I braided my beard. I brushed my braided beard back then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Couldn't quite do another bee.
Back then.
Back then.
All right.
Shall we begin?
Nah.
Nah. This time, let's just finish there.
Yeah.
Come on, Dave.
Just read out the link to the Wikipedia page and then we'll just head off.
Oh, Dave's not a wiki boy, Jess.
Wiki boy.
Hasn't even heard. Have you heard of it, Dave?
What is wiki boy?
Correct answer.
Now, I'm just wondering about how much information to go in to give you with this. You're going to learn it all as we go. Here we go. I reckon it'll be fun that way. I say fun. Okay. On the morning of Christmas Eve 1971.
Is this an unsolved Christmas time mystery?
No.
Okay.
1971.
In Lima, Peru.
Right.
The capital.
You're correct.
Yes.
17-year-old Juliana Kupka.
That's a good name.
And her mother, Maria
Kupka.
Also Kupka. Mm-hmm. We're preparing to board a flight at the capital city's newly opened airport. You were right, man. Juliana.
Is Kupka pronounced cupcake in Australia?
No, it's actually spelled K-O-E-P-C-K-E. And if I'm pronouncing that wrong, blame the guy on YouTube I watch pronounce it.
Well done going to that.
Thank you, guy on YouTube.
I often Google word pronunciation.
Yeah, because I'm going to say her name a lot of times.
Yeah.
You can just say Juliana, reckon?
Yeah, I'm going to.
But I like Kupka.
It's
making me hungry Kupka's for cupcakes, though.
I'm always hungry for cupcakes.
Yeah,
I'm going through a real red velvet phase at the moment. Oh, man. Just like wherever I see him, I'm like, yeah, I've got to get me a cupcake. And I get them. Because I'm a strong, independent woman. I get what I want.
What a lifestyle you live.
Yeah.
That is a great lifestyle.
What a lifestyle.
Yeah.
I'm basically on a no sugar diet.
That's stupid. You're an idiot.
No sugar, no alcohol.
No fun.
That's
no enjoyment.
I'm eating cupcakes whenever I see them.
I feel like a real fool. But I mean, look at these abs. Huh? You play baseball on these.
Could play baseball on those abs.
It's four spread out plates.
Yeah.
Man, I think you should get that checked.
Huh.
That doesn't look right.
Nah, it's a field of dreams. I don't know why I said baseball.
All right, sorry.
Anyway, back to Peru in the 70s.
Yes.
Juliana had the day before graduated from high school in Peru and had attended her school prom.
This all feels like lots of nice things happening.
Not another
and
one
it's
of these
Christmas
feel-good
Eve.
Reports.
Now, both her and her mother were flying home to spend Christmas with Juliana's father at the jungle research station where the family lived and worked. Inside the Amazon rainforest.
Wow.
That sounds cool.
Her father, Hans Wilhelm.
What?
What a name.
What?
Or Hans.
Hans.
Wilhelm.
Hans Wilhelm.
Kupka.
Wilhelm
Kupka What a great name. He was a German zoologist and ornithologist. He liked birds. After
horny for orn.
He's a horny orny.
I like birds.
I like birds.
I like birds, all right.
Look them up there. Nesting. Don't like this. I don't like this character.
I mean, you did it.
I know.
20,000 characters. I'm going to harvest their eggs. Now, he was more like, yeah, birds are good, yeah.
Oh, birds. They are so interesting. I must study them.
Flippity flip. Oh, flappity flop.
Oh, my God. The other day I watched a video of a penguin chasing a butterfly. Oh, shit. It was so cute. Oh, my God.
What is your life? Cupcakes and butterfly videos?
My life, to answer in one word, is whimsy.
I thought I'd describe it with a rainbow emoji.
It was cute. I showed everyone around me. It was the
strangers?
Best. No. I was
Look at it. It's a bird chasing a butterfly.
It was so cute. He's like flapping around. He's having the best time. Oh, so cute. I think about him sometimes.
What now?
He's just flapping around. It's so cute.
They didn't show you the bit where the penguin caught the butterfly, pulled its wings off and ate it.
No, they're just playing. They're friends.
Playing.
They're still living happily together, yeah, Dave.
They're fine. Oh, God. If you hear me chuckling, that's what I'm thinking about.
Back to Hans Wilhelm. After graduating university with a doctorate in 1947, he was so desperate to conduct research in the South American jungle that after World War II, without a passport or any money, he dug into a cargo of salt on a ship bound for South America and hid until it arrived.
He hid in the salt?
Yeah, God. He's a stowaway in the salt.
There are worse ways to go, in my opinion. I just have a little lick every now and then. Free.
Ooh, free salt.
You're like, why is all the salt so wet? just picking up bits of salt.
No good.
Once he got to South America, he walked from one side of the continent to the other just to reach Peru.
Fucking hell.
That's how desperate he was. He is a bit of a badass. And as you will hear, his daughter inherited many of his badass qualities.
Great.
Hans Wilhelm met Juliana's mother, Maria, a German-born ornithologist. She liked birds.
Look, birds. Look at them.
Look, birds. She's high-pitched.
Yeah, you like birds too. Maybe we could catch up for a movie. We'll watch a movie about birds.
Oh,
what do you reckon?
Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Yeah, that sounds good. What do you... has it got lots of birds in it?
Why did Dave steal my character? What the fuck?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Patriarchy, yes.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I should have known my place.
I'll take this one from here.
I'll play the lady characters. Thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry, I have so many. I've got so many split personalities. I just forget who I am sometimes.
I understand.
I apologize.
No, that's okay.
So do I.
Oh, ooh, dear.
Can't keep her down. Fuck off, bird lady. So sorry. We'll not be hearing from her again. Anyway, the pair met at a university in Germany, and together they lived and worked in Peru. Maria was a department head for a university-affiliated natural history museum in Lima. Both of Juliana's parents are still highly regarded in their own fields, so they were totally a power couple.
Oh, I love a power couple.
Totally.
Okay, quickly. Top three power couples.
Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Okay.
Ovs.
Bill and Melinda Gates.
Okay.
Well, they've given away more money to charity than any other couple in history.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about, charity. Okay.
Oh, Dave doesn't get it.
Kim and Kanye, Ovs.
Sorry.
And third, Sonny and Cher. So put your little hand in my... It's a good song. It's really fun.
It's a great song.
Babe. Is that one?
Yeah. I got you, babe.
In 1954,
In
1954, the power couple became a power trio. When Juliana...
They adopted a bird.
Oh, yeah.
But Juliana came along. She was born in 1954. Born in Germany, she moved with her parents to Peru and lived in a very simple hut with her family at the research station that they called Panguana. She adapted well to the lifestyle and even had a pet toucan, a type of bird.
Yep. But toucans are cute too.
Oh, there's a photo of her with the toucan. It is so cute.
What about, there used to be an icy pole called a toucan. Do you remember
that? Good. Yeah, and they, you could split them?
Yeah, they were like two stuck together. So you'd split them and you'd share them with a mate. They were good.
What a time to be alive.
I know. Are toucans?
Did you have those in the poor Southwest? Or Southeast, wherever you're from.
We'd look through binoculars at you rich kids.
Yeah,
and two cans.
You could almost taste it.
We had single cans. There was no splitting.
Yeah.
They came pre-split.
Yep.
And they were on the ground in the dirt.
Yeah, okay. That's odd.
That's funny because what
and
I would...
people kicked us in the face.
Seems like those are all odd things to have happened.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Pretty tough, but...
I don't know about you, just what I did was I'd get my toucan, sticks, I'd get one, throw it in the dirt, and then I'd kick a poor kid in the face.
Yeah, me too.
So...
As was tradition.
So, Matt, that may have worked out.
Yeah. Sorry if we ever kicked you in the face.
Toucan, there's a toucan. Look, here's a shameless plug. Jess and I talked about a toucan in our episode of Primates. A podcast made in this very studio about primates from popular culture. Mm-hmm. And Jess and I talked about George of the Jungle.
And without hearing all of your episodes, I'm going to say it's the greatest one.
It did. It was one of the most fun for sure. Maybe the most fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to. Shun anyone else in the room.
Shun.
We can also hear a toucan on my podcast, Toucan Play That Game. And start a solo pod, so.
Hey, do you know the name of this toucan by any chance? Or you just know that she had a pet toucan?
Joseph.
Fuck off!
Says here.
I love animals with human names.
Joey Toucan. He sounds like a mobster.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Joey Toucan.
Like, hey.
Hey, I'm Joey Toucan over here.
I'm Toucan here. That's great.
Totally. I made that up. It wasn't called Joseph.
Oh, it is now. It is now. You went straight for Joseph.
Yeah. Great. His real name was Trent. Trent the Toucan.
Trent.
He's not coming back. She was at first homeschooled before attending a German-speaking school in Lima, the capital of Peru, as already mentioned. She also spoke Spanish.
Great.
Okay,
so she converses with the locals as well. Yeah, she's got a toucan, she's gone to Lima, and she speaks Spanish. Triple threat.
She's amazing.
When not at school, she spent a lot of her time mastering skills in the jungle, canoeing, and also caring for the animals.
Oh.
She was most at home amongst the wildlife of the dense and sprawling Amazon rainforest around her.
She sounds like George of the Jungle. Can speak more than
broken English.
Broken English.
Yeah. She can speak fluent German and fluent Spanish.
Mm.
Possibly also broken English. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably. To George's level, probably.
So back to Christmas Eve 1971, as I spoke about at the start. Juliana and her mother Maria were set to catch Lancer Flight 508 from Lima, Peru to Pucallpa in the Amazon rainforest. It was only a 1-hour flight. The airline, Lancer, had already had two aircraft lost in previous crashes. In 1966, a Lancer flight had crashed in Peru and all 49 people on board perished.
Sorry, what year was that?
1966.
Fucking hell.
That is a very good year. Did you guys know that that is the year the St. Kilda Football Club won their one and only VFL Premiership?
I met someone for the first time the other day and a group were talking about footy and she said she was St Kilda fan and she said, yeah, we've only won one premiership. And I went, 1966. And she went, oh, do you go for the Saints as well? I was like, no.
No, name any year, I can tell you.
But I hear about it constantly.
Sorry. It's also the year that England won their one and only World Cup in the football soccer.
Which still rings true. Still rings true.
Yeah.
Too soon, Dave.
Only weeks ago. That's going to take years before.
Anyway, 1966, a plane crashed.
Yes.
Lancer. Then in 1970, less than 18 months before Juliana's flight, Lancer Flight 502 crashed, killing over 100 people.
I reckon don't book flights with them.
Only the co-pilot survived, so...
Oh, how convenient.
It was an inside job for sure.
His injector seat worked. Injector.
Quick, inject the heroin. This is going to be awful if I'm conscious.
That actually sounds really handy. I mean, if you're going down on a plane,
oh man, I would.
That's
take,
the time I'd try heroin.
Yeah, that's the time I'd go straight to meth.
If two oxygen masks dropped down and one was like laughing gas and one was oxygen, I'd grab the laughing gas.
Oh yeah,
I just need to be calm or laughing.
Yeah, like a maniac.
A bit giggly.
It's gonna be giggly.
We're going down.
We're all gonna die.
So everyone knew Lancer had a terrible reputation, including the Kupkas, who were very wary of the airline, but they desperately wanted to be with their husband and father for Christmas. Every other flight was booked out. Her father asked them not to fly Lancer, but her mother said, "I think it will be okay."
Oof, you don't want to say think. You don't want to think.
Now, I cannot explain how dodgy this airline was, but I'm going to give it a shot. After the airline...
It was BYO chair.
Well, after the airlines, no, that's Ryanair. After the airline's second crash, an investigation discovered that the mechanics that looked after the plane's engines had previously only repaired motorcycle engines.
Very good. They're similar.
And some of the pilots didn't even have licenses.
Okay.
And to make things worse, they often carried more passengers than they were legally allowed to.
Sure.
So when the plane crashed, that meant more, you know, more people died than had to. So
than had to.
They're yeah,
obviously
really bad.
This amount of people have to die.
Yeah, but then we've killed extras.
They also flew exclusively a type of plane called the Lockheed L-188 Electra. This type of plane was introduced in 1957, and over the next 50 years, 58 out of the 170 Electras would be written off because of crashes and other accidents. That's more than one in three of them crashed or had an accident.
That's messed up.
And two out of three of theirs had already crashed. And since the two Lancer crashes, the airline only had one plane left.
Wait, you said two out of three? Oh, right. Not two out of three flights, but two out of the three planes they had.
Yeah. So because they've only got one plane left for the whole airline.
That's
now.
Incredible.
So it had to do continuous round trips.
What?
Just
the
a matter
fuck?
Of time.
Are they only flying? Do you reckon they're only flying from one place to another?
No, they're doing a few different cities. They're doing Cusco in the Peruvian mountains, this place that Juliana's going to, and then also Lima.
And flights were expensive back then, right?
Yeah, yeah, it costs a lot. And also they're flying over the Andes Mountains. They're flying over a rainforest, and that often means, like, because at the bottom of the mountains, that often attracts storms because of change in altitude and air and stuff. So on this particular day, the plane was 7 hours late.
That's promising.
So everyone was tired, angry, and desperate to get home for Christmas. Because it was so late, the two flights after Juliana's were cancelled because people had to wait for that plane to go to their place, then come back. So they just said, we're not going to be able to come back.
Yeah.
So her and her mother felt lucky and overjoyed because they were able to go home because they were on the one of the three flights that day that weren't cancelled. They were like, yeah. So the plane took off about noon with 86 passengers and 6 crew members. Juliana sat in row 19, 2 from the back, sitting in seat F against the window. Her mother was in the middle seat, and a large Peruvian gentleman, in her own words, had the aisle seat.
In her own words.
And he immediately fell asleep.
No, but I mean, like, if she has those words and if we know where she was sitting.
She shouted it from the plane.
Okay, I stand corrected.
And, of course, people notice that kind of thing and write it down in their diaries, which are published many years later.
Mm.
Everything seemed normal for the first 25 minutes of the flight. Food came around and everything else seemed pretty run-of-the-mill. Then when traveling at 21,000 feet, the plane entered heavy, dark cloud. Juliana's mother was nervous, but Juliana herself didn't mind flying and didn't think anything of it. That was until 10 minutes later when the plane experienced severe turbulence. It was so bad that it was obvious to all that something was going horribly wrong. Overhead luggage compartments opened and baggage packed with Christmas presents and Christmas cakes showered the cabin.
Not the cake!
Cake shower.
There's a cake going everywhere.
Yum.
Yeah. Is that good or bad?
I'm conflicted because that would be fun.
Yeah.
Cake
if you had a
shower.
Funnel, that'd be real. Perfect.
Yeah. Just the icing.
You've got your mouth open.
Yeah. Yum.
For a second, I was imagining it like it was there on like some sort of space shuttle and you could like float around and get the cake, but gravity still applies here, people. Yeah. the luggage flew around them and the passengers began to cry and scream out. Yuliana held her mother's hand, but neither of them said a word. Then the lightning started, and it seemed to strike all around the plane. It was pitch black, and the lightning was the only thing that lit up the cabin. Yuliana looked out the window and saw an incredibly bright light hit one of the engines and heard her mother scream, "That is the end. It's all over."
There's a lot of first-hand accounts here, Jess.
Yeah.
I didn't pick that up, but that's...
You always pick that up, though.
Not this time. That's got to be good news.
It's got to be good.
Unless there was a big audio recorder.
That would be the last word she ever heard her mother say.
Oh.
Although it is not uncommon for engines to be hit by lightning...
Because she went deaf.
Oh, thank God.
And lived a very normal life. Right, Dave?
I can't confirm nor deny, as I often won't commit to either.
Dave.
Although it's not uncommon for engines to be hit by lightning, the Electra aircraft they were on wasn't built for flying in heavy turbulence due to its very rigid wings. So...
Sounds like a piece of shit plane.
It's a piece of shit run by a piece of shit airline.
Fucking hell. They're still around, I assume.
We'll talk about that.
Oh, no.
The plane... Did I tell you who we booked to go to Sydney with?
No, Dave. Just because they were cheap.
Yeah, we're flying
via the jungle.
It's a 19-hour round trip. Even that would be quick. The plane went up and then into a heavy nosedive.
Oh, no.
As the passengers began to scream in terror. It was pitch black at this point. They were falling into darkness, and then the plane began to loudly disintegrate around them. Suddenly, for Yuliana, the noise stopped, replaced by wind flying past her ears. She had momentarily passed out, but when she came to, she realized she was outside of the plane.
What?
She was flying through the air in a freefall, still strapped to a row of three seats. Her mother and the man sitting next to them had both been ejected, and she was all alone. As she fell, Yuliana could see the green jungle canopy below spinning towards her. She described it as being like broccoli.
She described it.
Again, she yelled it really loud.
to a reporter on the ground.
It looks like broccoli!
They're like, she is not okay.
You're right up there, kid.
Broccoli everywhere.
Say it again. My recorder wasn't on. She had no time.
So they she ejected her row of seats.
Injected.
Oh, sorry, injected. Yeah, bloody hell.
Also, she's very high at this point. She's taken a lot of crack.
That's you can't do that anymore. That feels like a cool function. Where are you ejecting through the roof?
No. The plane has just fallen apart around her.
Right.
She has not hit eject. Okay. She's just been ejected.
Right.
I find that crazy that the plane has just fallen apart.
The turbulence.
Because it was so rigid.
It was so bad. And yet also this plane is not designed to go through crazy storms and wind, which
so
is
it just falls
it just
apart.
Rips it apart.
Didn't have any give.
Crazy.
Yeah. Also, because the engine's been taken out, it went into a nosedive and it's flying so fast, practically straight down. The air is just ripping it to shreds.
Isn't that why big, like, tall skyscrapers will have... They'll have give in them, so they bow
move,
with the
yeah.
wind. If they were rigid, they would just snap in half.
Basically, that's what's happened to you. It snapped.
Fuck.
So she's flying through the air, looking at the broccoli. She had no time to be afraid. It all just happened very quickly. The seatbelt squeezed her so tightly that she couldn't breathe, and she blacked out and lost consciousness.
Oh, I wonder if there's a parachute on this row of chairs.
That would be very convenient.
Otherwise,
they should have parachutes on planes.
Yeah, just on everything.
Yeah, good point.
Just everything. Put it on
in case
everything.
You trip.
Yeah,
I saw two guys trip on the exact same step at the gym today, and I was like,
"All right, Jess, you went to the gym, mate."
Yeah, I did. I'm really sore.
If they had a parachute, would either of them been alive today?
Maybe.
We'll never know.
Again, I cannot confirm nor deny.
Did you audibly laugh out loud?
No, I just did a little like, I mean, the steps were all lit up. Like they really go to a lot of effort to make the step visible.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it. Okay, so I'm sorry.
I mean, an idiot would trip on a step.
Oh, so, okay, so now I'm an idiot.
Isn't that your name?
Yeah. Shut up.
I know you are, but what am I? That's a classic. My brother used to use that one a lot. Anyway, Dave, sorry, do go on.
So something obviously very dramatic has just happened. She's been ejected. She's fallen through the sky. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Juliana had just fallen more than 3 kilometres or 2 miles to the ground. Amazingly, the next day she woke up and looked up into the canopy of the jungle.
You know, that is the exact distance of the Melbourne Cup.
She fell the Melbourne Cup.
She was definitely thinking that as she was falling.
Which is all.
So how did she know it was the next day that she'd woken up?
She believes that she had hit the ground about lunchtime, been passed out all afternoon, mm-hmm. all night, and then woken up the next day.
Right. I reckon she's just woken up. Anyway.
Straight away. She was underneath the seats and covered in earth and mud from the rain that had showered her unconscious body all night. She called for her mother, but all she heard was the sound of the jungle spreading out for miles and miles and miles around her. She had lost her glasses, which she relied on quite heavily.
So she's a square. Oop, four eyes.
Well, no longer. She's now cool.
Normal
amount.
I'm wearing my glasses right now for those.
Yeah, playing and before you tweet at me, I also wear glasses.
I didn't fully get the I didn't fully get what Jess was saying then. I'm like, yeah. Oh no.
Hang on.
Don't say it. But she had lost her glasses and she was only wearing a self-described sleeveless, skimpy miniskirt and one sandal.
Do many skirts have sleeves?
No.
Sleeveless miniskirt.
It's got to be a dress. It's got to be a dress. It's a mini dress.
Dave just does not get fashion.
Hey, I said self-described. That's what she described her outfit as.
Yeah, true.
I would describe it as flaming.
And one sandal.
One sandal. The other one had come off in the crash.
Interesting.
She was suffering from a concussion and could barely see. Oh. Her left eye was swollen shut. She couldn't see well out of her right eye. And also she didn't have her glasses.
Yeah.
She'd also had a fractured collarbone, which she could see through the skin, but apparently didn't hurt. She had some deep gashes across her body. She had a ruptured ligament, but was able to walk. Although it did take her a few times to get up because she was so concussed, everything was spinning around her every time she tried to stand up.
Oh, that's not a good feeling.
Now, you're probably wondering, how the hell does someone fall from a plane the height of the Melbourne Cup without a parachute and survive?
That is what we were thinking.
Well, Juliana herself has three theories as to how she survived.
Love it. Mole people.
Number one is mole people.
Yeah, Juliana. She gets it.
Big, puffy broccoli.
Yeah.
You just bounce right over the top of that.
Yum. I love broccoli.
Number three.
I love broccoli too. Could just eat it. Eat it raw. Eat it cooked.
Mm.
Eat it that sweet spot in the middle where it's not quite cooked, not quite raw.
You can roast it. You can steam it. You can chuck it in a stir fry. Yum, yum, yum.
It's a wonder plant. A wunderplant, as your German people.
As Hans Wilhelm would say.
Yes.
Wunderplant. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Juliana, eat your wunderplant.
Yeah.
So three theories. Number one, she fell on a large jumping castle. No, these are the real theories. During storms.
I kid. Okay.
During storms, often.
Gotcha!
We got punked right here on live TV.
Sorry, Ashton, you missed your cue. During storms, jumping castles are often blown into the Amazon rainforest. Oh, did it again! God!
He's so good.
Somebody stop me! Have a drink, hurt my voice. Okay, serious ones. Okay. Serious answers only.
Thank you.
Serious suggestions only. All right, guys.
All right.
During storms, jumping castles can be inflated to twice their usual capacity. No, drafts of air are known to be sucked upwards into the sky, and this could have slowed her fall. So she's coming down, air's coming up.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe. Second theory is that she fell. When she fell, she was wildly spinning. Remember, the broccoli was spinning around. The row of chairs she was trapped to, because she was in the middle, may have spun like a helicopter.
Ah.
And slowed her fall.
Both of those are sick.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you were going to go.
Matt, you can go for theory number three if you like. Lock one in. Mm. And finally, she fell on thick vines that were entwined between trees in the thick Amazon jungle, and this really could have cushioned and slowed her fall.
Yeah, and it made this sound.
Yep.
What number noise was that?
Well, that was number one, baby.
Number one, canopy saving a woman's life.
Number one with a bullet. Ooh. Oh, bullet, did you say?
I think my mum's personal favourite there was bang.
Bang.
He's got many bullets in the repertoire.
So many. Yeah. I think anything, it was a group of guardian angels.
A group. Oh, yes.
That got her and flapped their wings and gently put her down. And then broke her leg.
Put her down?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, just like...
They lay her down.
Lay her down.
And when she wouldn't pay up, because their service costs a fee, they broke her leg. And, you pay up or we break down.
And they stole her glasses.
And then did they repair her leg and break her collarbone?
Yeah.
Yes.
She had some sort of ligament.
She had a sore ligament. That's right. You're right.
Idiot.
Pay up or I will damage one of your leg ligaments.
And walking will be possible, but uncomfortable.
It'll be quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Punk. You would pay. Okay, so her parents' research station was only about 30 miles away from her body had landed. But to travel through the thick jungle, it can take hours to just get a few hundred meters. And that's with a machete and proper clothing. Fuck. So she's got nothing.
Oh, my God.
During her time at the station, her father had taught her a lot about the jungle. Unlike nearly anyone else I can imagine in this situation, she didn't panic. She could hear planes flying overhead, obviously searching for survivors, but the jungle canopy was so thick that she knew they couldn't possibly see her. The jungle was so dense that the authorities couldn't even see where the plane had crashed.
Wow.
It was like it had just been swallowed up by the jungle. Usually there's like a flaming wreckage somewhere and they can be like, there it is, you know, there's bits of it, right. But they couldn't see it.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that makes it so thick that maybe that canopy of vines or whatever.
Maybe
theory.
Slow down.
Whoop.
It could be possible that if all of those things happen, I guess.
Yes, it could be a combination of all three of those things that just basically...
Four of those things, guardian angels, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, basically it's a miracle.
Guardian mole people.
The biggest miracle, of course, being guardian angels.
Yes.
But Juliana knew how to deal with the jungle, and knowing that no one was going to find her, she now knew she had to find help herself. She remembered that when she was a young girl, an American man had gotten into trouble on a hike into the Sierra Mountains, not far from her family's research station. The American had accidentally shot himself in the leg, and his group sent one of the members to go get help. However, he soon became lost in the jungle, the guy looking for help. Luckily, he found a small river, and knowing that most of the time small streams usually lead to larger rivers, and if you follow a large river, you'll usually come across civilization.
Sure.
He did this and eventually 2 days later found his way to Juliana's family's research station.
Wow.
And they were all rescued. She never forgot this story and its lessons for those lost in the jungle. Find a stream, hit a river, find the people. Remember that. Okay. And if this podcast saves one life in the Amazon rainforest,
we
it'll
will
all
take
be worth it.
Your $1 million reward.
Yes,
thank
please
you,
pay
yes.
up.
Should you
hopefully
say
it's the life
more time?
Of a millionaire. Bajillionaire.
Oh, bajillionaire.
And then they give us $1 million each.
I wasn't listening. What were the three steps?
Find a stream, find a river, find the people.
Stream,
three,
river, people.
Three simple steps.
What if you is it an issue if you get straight to the river? Say, can you just go river? Or
no,
if you just
find
the people?
Stream.
If you find the people, keep walking till you find a river. No stream, then
if,
river.
If you find a river, then you know you're on the right track to finding a stream.
Yeah,
which will get you back to the river.
Correct.
Which will get you to the people.
Yes, correct. And if Matt saves one life on this podcast.
If you don't collect all three in order,
yep.
You will die.
Start again.
You will you not will. Make it.
You will not survive.
When she was able to get to her feet, she realized that she could hear the sound of running water.
Oh, that's convenient.
Apparently it had been there. She'd been there for, you know, hours and hadn't really noticed the sound. Suddenly her ears sort of became attuned to it and she went, hang on, I can hear water. And she followed it, hoping to find a large river. The only food that she was able to find around her was a bag of candy that had fallen from the plane and a Christmas cake that had landed near her. The sweets were edible, but the Christmas cake was covered in water and mud.
And it wasn't completely smashed. Like, that would be a smushed cake.
Yeah, when she tasted it, it tasted so bad that she left it behind. She later realized that this was a very, very foolish because she should have taken every morsel of food with her, no matter how badly it tastes. Yeah. But at the time, she had no idea how long she'd be in the jungle for.
Yeah.
The sweets ran out on day four.
Oof.
So she rationed them. She's clever.
Yeah, I could never do that with sweets.
Imagine living on sweets as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be gross. Like, just the that's the only food you're getting, it would make your stomach feel
it would be great.
Weird.
Yeah.
So she began to walk through the jungle, and in all her time throughout this, she only came across other people from the plane once. That's how spread out everything was. 4 days after waking up in the jungle, she heard the noise of a landing king vulture. She knew they only land when there was a lot of meat available, and instantly knew it was landing to eat a dead body.
Oh, wow.
So she knew she was...
She knew... Oh, because she... Her parents love birds.
Yeah, she knows a lot about birds.
King vultures. That sounds... So she knows what a king vulture is. I'd never heard a king vulture.
Yeah.
They're the ones with those neck... Those sort of fluffy neck...
No, the ones with a crown.
Really?
And a cape.
So you got to be... It's like it's full born into it royalty.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You
and,
Jess bow.
And Jess and I would respect that, but you wouldn't.
No, fuck the queen. Or the king. King vulture. That's what they are, royal family, bloody vultures.
Yeah,
yeah, the king of all vultures. So she heard this vulture. She soon came across three bodies still trapped, strapped to their chairs. They'd hit the ground so hard that Juliana could only see feet sticking out from where they made impact with the earth. Obviously, whatever made her survive hadn't happened to these people.
Yeah.
They'd just smashed into the ground, as you would expect anything that falls 2 miles from the sky.
That's just gross and awful.
She wanted to make sure that none of the bodies was her mother.
Oh, my God.
Despite the fact that later realizing, why would her mother have changed seats midair?
Yeah.
But she still, at the time, thought, I've got to check. So she grabbed a stick and turned one of the body's feet over. It was a woman, but her toenails were painted, something that her mother never did. So she was satisfied it was a different person. She felt relieved and at the same time guilty for feeling relieved about someone else dying. What a strange feeling.
No, it would be. But yeah, that's fair.
She followed the stream and reached a large river, but was disappointed to realize that this river was not navigable and therefore she wouldn't quickly find people along it. It was really windy and it just didn't look like people would live along there. She had to continue to follow it downstream. She swam, waded, and floated through the now deeper water of this large river, often seeing crocodiles in groups of two or three.
Oh, shit. Oh.
I know.
I've got my blood pumping. Imagine that.
Fuck.
Imagine surviving all that to get done by a crocodile. So
they'd just be sitting along the banks and all dive into the water towards her when they saw her. Most people would flee into the jungle at this point, but Juliana held her ground and kept swimming, knowing that going into the jungle was certain death. You couldn't get anywhere.
She sounds like the smartest person.
Yeah. No,
what a ledge.
Wow.
She also knew from her time at the research station that this type of caiman crocodile are almost always afraid of humans, and rather than diving at her, they were diving into the water to hide, and she would feel them swim underneath her.
Oh, wow.
So she's just holding a nerve.
She knows. What kind of crocodile is this?
A caiman crocodile.
Caiman crocodile.
They're more scared of you. Okay, they're vegetarians. Great.
Cool. That's interesting.
Creepy though.
Yeah, that'd be a rush.
Oh fuck. Oh.
Wouldn't your heart be pounding?
You'd be shitting yourself.
Oh, your ass would be pounding too.
Everything's pounding.
My ass is pounding. My collarbone feels fine, but my ass is pounding.
Oh, my God.
She was most wary of poisonous stingrays hiding at the bottom of the muddy water. So whenever the water level...
This river has fucking everything.
It's reminding me of that episode of The Simpsons where what was the daredevil?
We've talked about this one.
Had to jump, Lance Murdoch.
Lance Murdoch had to jump the pool, which had sharks in it and like electric eels. And then they put a line.
He's got a little snorkel on.
Yes. And then they put in one drop of human blood and they also start going crazy. And then when he falls in, he's okay, folks.
So gross.
So that's basically this river. So she was worried the water level, when it was shallow enough to wade, she would carry a large stick and poke the water in front of her in case these stingrays were there.
These
stingrays were the only animals at the forefront of her mind, not the snakes, crocodiles, piranhas, spiders, jaguars, or scorpions that she was also likely to come across in the jungle.
Well, what about those ones that, those little fish things that swim up your dick hole?
How does it always come back to them?
It always does.
It's been a while since we mentioned them, and I'm glad you brought them back to our attention.
Was it you who taught me about them? Was it me who was... I think one of us found them when we were working for
a quiz show.
They are a myth. What a myth.
But what a myth.
What a myth.
If my legacy could be to come up with a myth like that, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I would die a happy man. As he travelled downstream, Koepka discovered more wreckage from the plane, just little bits and pieces here and there. Sadly, no food. She also saw planes flying overhead over the first 9 days. But when this stopped, she theorised that the search had been called off. Sadly, she was right. The authorities had given up on finding any survivors. She was all alone. She knew now more than ever that she was going to have to be the one to save herself. This is a good time to remind everyone that she's only 17 years old and has one sandal and no survival tools whatsoever.
I feel like we've talked about a lot of badasses, but at the moment she's got to be towards the top.
Yeah.
The baddest of all
and
the
And I asses. Never heard her name before.
No, neither.
Crazy.
Admittedly, I'd never heard of nearly any of the names.
Good
of,
point.
Of the badasses?
Yeah, the badasses.
Yeah, good point.
Most of the badasses are from World War II as well.
Yeah.
Which wow. obviously is a whole other thing. But yeah, she's just amazing. Wild. Like, I reckon a lot of people would have made so many different worst choices so far.
So a lot of people, possibly, I've heard people theorize about this, would have just stayed in the spot hoping to find help. But she knew in that dense jungle no one was going to see her. So she'd see these planes and there's no way to signal them.
Didn't have a flare on her by any chance?
Yes.
And she didn't use it.
It was in her left sandal.
Yeah. Oh, no.
She had a flair for fashion.
Yeah. She was flaming.
She had a flair for survival.
She sure did.
I need to hear more. Please keep going. This is so cool.
At night, just before nightfall, she'd get out of the river and she'd need to find a place to sleep. She'd look for something that protected her back, like a tree trunk, and then would cover herself with leaves for a bit of protection. It would often rain all night long.
Oh, my God.
The cold droplets felt like stinging needles as they hit her skin. Oh. Which sounds terrible, but if it didn't rain, it was probably worse as that meant mosquitoes would almost eat her alive all night.
Yeah, but like a bit of mist rain would be okay, you know?
Halfway.
That kind of misty rain.
Mm. Yeah.
That'd be all right.
Yeah, is that too much to ask?
That's quite nice.
Yeah.
On a hot night.
Yeah, a little
keep
mist.
Keep it nice and cool.
A little mist though. Yeah.
Off to sleep I go. No.
I think it would be horrible to be shrouded in mist all night long.
But if it was hot enough, it'd be all right.
Yeah.
And if your back was protected by a tree or something.
Yeah, and you were covered in leaves or something.
Yeah.
If you're on a waterbed.
Yeah, you don't want
to if you're feeling a mist and you're sleeping on a waterbed.
Something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
You're probably sharing it with Edward Scissorhands.
Patch that leak.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh, my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
One day, She heard the call of a bird she knew. Birds saving her again.
Okay, I need to ask, do you mean species of bird or specific bird? Is it Jonathan?
That bird.
Is it Joseph?
Joseph.
Joseph flew in and saved her.
He was looking for her. He never gave up.
He never gave up despite the planes. No, she heard a bird she recognised, a crested chicken.
What's a crested chicken sound like?
I think you already did it before.
Yeah, that's what it would be.
And she knew that from any other bird.
Yep, she's like, oh, that's a crested chicken.
Crested chicken. A jungle chicken. Is it a kind of chicken?
It is a... I don't really know much about the crested chicken.
I mean, it feels you should like have it's known a kind of chicken.
There would be other questions from us. We're not going to just
We're not going to let you get by with a crested chicken fact drop.
Come on, mate. Do you know us at all?
Jeez Louise.
Crested chicken. Bok, 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 bok. I made it a jingle.
What have you done?
The one I'm looking up, it's also known as the reptile bird, skunk bird, or stink bird. I wish she'd called it a stink bird.
So really she smelt a bird she recognised.
Yeah. You gave it the friendliest of the names.
Oh, stink bird.
Crested chicken sounds almost like majestic.
Delicious.
Majestically delicious.
I want to know why.
Stink bird, on the other hand.
A stink bird.
There's also a skunk bird, so maybe it gives off some kind of stench like a skunk does. That's my guess.
I mean, skunk makes you think that, not stink. I mean, stinks even more directly.
Yeah, good point.
Hey, check out the stink birds over here.
Wait, Morty! I found me a stink boy.
Do you mean a skunk boy?
No, I mean a stink boy.
Are you talking about a crested chicken boy?
Oh, Morty. End scene.
Wow.
Unhappy couple, I guess.
Powerful theatre.
Powerful theatre.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm moved.
So she heard the crested chicken, aka skunk, aka stink bird. She knew that they lived along larger bodies of water. So when she heard their call, she knew she had to follow the sound of this to find a larger body of water.
Larger than the river she's already in.
Yep. And hopefully, civilization.
Wow.
She found a long and winding river.
A long and winding river.
Dun, 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 dun.
This is my least favorite of all the Beatles' number ones.
To your door.
I just can't get into it.
Yeah.
I just hear it and think, shit.
What do you think, sorry?
Shit. And I'll tell Paul to his face.
Wow, I wouldn't even think of it. Matt's just looked up a picture of the...
Oh, that's a stink boy.
The crested chicken, and it's amazing. It's got like a...
That's a party boy.
What a hairdo.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's got a party do. Party do.
It does look like a very 70s bird.
Yeah. Yeah, it does not exist now.
No, it died December 31st, 1979.
Okay.
So she found a long and winding road, river, and traveled down it for days. Sadly, she had no idea that another nearby river that travels in the opposite direction has boats travel down it all throughout the year. If this had been the river she'd found, she most likely would have found help within a couple of days.
Wow.
However, there are several offshoots of this main river that travel deep into uninhabitable jungle. So if she'd been accidentally washed down any of them, she may have never been found.
Right. Are we still in Peru?
Yes.
Deepest, darkest Peru?
Yes. Paddington
country.
It is. This seems like a very...
Is this the origin story of Paddington?
I'm getting to the bear. By the 10th day, she couldn't stand properly and just drifted along the edge of the large river. She recalled, I felt so lonely, like I was in a parallel universe far away from any human being. That's the end of the quote. She never felt hungry, but without any source of food, her body was starting to give up on her.
Yeah, you'd get to a point of over hungry, so you wouldn't really be feeling hunger anymore, but she'd be so weak.
And I think she's just like in this headspace of must survive, keep going. But
wow,
it gets to a point where your body's like, I need energy.
And yeah. Did she try and eat the stink boy?
No. I think it would be difficult for her to catch with her bare hands.
Probably can't eat it raw either.
She's got bare hands. Is she Paddington?
You hate yourself.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
That does not say much. He's an idiot.
This is all true.
That's not the idiot voice, Dave.
Yeah, I think it is. How'd I do?
Is that what I sound like?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's like the most animated your face ever gets.
It's full mouth opener.
On the 10th night, she found a place to sleep on the side of the river. Now so weak, she didn't even notice a boat tied up in front of her. She's just sort of zoning in and out, basically semi-conscious.
That would feel like a mirage.
And
She came to, she noticed the small boat, thinking that it was an hallucination. So she sort of put her hands out and touched it and was like, oh my God, this is a boat. It's a very small boat. She looked around for people, but instead saw a steep embankment with a hut above it. She tried to get up the embankment, but was so tired, it took her hours just to get up this little hill. It's very muddy and she had to sort of just basically roll up.
With a broken collarbone too. Shit.
Eventually she got into the hut. She saw a boat engine wrapped in plastic, but no people, and being so tired, she just fell asleep.
That's still, what a sick point. That would be the best sleep she's had in a while.
One of her injuries was a gash in her arm. It was really deep, but it didn't bleed. So it was probably like a piece of metal or something had cut it deeply. It was so deep that a fly had laid its eggs in the wound.
Oh,
damn it.
Yuck.
Maggots had hatched in there.
Oh, no.
Yuck.
Get out of here, maggots.
They're 1 centimeter long.
Dave, shut up.
1 centimeter long maggots.
Inside the wound.
Yuck.
Heaps
stop.
Of them.
Stop it.
She was terrified that if she survived all this, she was going to lose her arm.
Oh, she was going to lose her baby maggots.
She was prepared to do whatever it takes to stop her from losing her own arm. She remembered that once her father had treated a dog's wound that had become infested with maggots by putting kerosene onto the wound.
Oh.
So she sucked.
I don't want to lose my arm. I'm going to set it alight with kerosene.
Oh, my God, Dave, don't say that next sentence you're going to read. Don't.
It's not that bad.
It is. You said sucked.
She sucked gasoline out of the boat engine in the hut and then poured it into her wound.
Yuck.
The pain was intense as the maggots tried to get further into her.
You piece of shit.
I know. Then, she's such a boss. She pulled 30 maggots out of her wound.
One by one.
Yeah. Imagine how much
that
would hurt.
Chopsticks or something. How was she doing it?
Just getting in there.
Just getting her whole hand in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pinching
probably a couple
out.
Of fingers
she
in.
She is. The biggest badass.
She's such
a... Oh, my God, that's disgusting.
Then when it was all over, she was proud of herself and went back to sleep. What a legend.
Yeah. What happens now? The maggots are going, like, coast clear, and they all jump back in.
Jump back in.
Oh, that's disgusting.
No, that is...
What's the kerosene do then?
Survival. It basically cleans the wound and kills the maggots.
So she pulled out dead maggots.
Yeah, so they're sort of drowning and it's sort of cleansing the wound.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the drowning. Otherwise, it could have just been water.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's poisoning them.
Okay. Yuck.
Don't try to mollycoddle us, Dave.
Yuck.
We can take it. Oh, no.
Doesn't sound like we can.
I can't.
Should I go on or should we stop there?
Go on.
That was sick. In nearly every way.
Yeah, let's move on from that. Please.
So she went to sleep. The next day, she suddenly heard voices of several men outside the hut. To her, they sounded like angels.
Uh-oh.
She knew she was
you
safe.
You called it.
Oh,
you
scared.
Called it, Jess.
Guardian angels.
I know, but I'm scared. Are they safe men?
When this group of Peruvian lumberjacks first saw her, they freaked out and stopped talking immediately. They thought that Juliana was some kind of water goddess. A figure from local legend who was a hybrid of a water dolphin and a blonde, white-skinned woman.
As opposed to a land dolphin.
I may have taken out river dolphin, who knows? But when she spoke to them in Spanish and explained what had happened, they'd heard about the plane crash, obviously. They treated her wounds and gave her food. She rested up and the next day they started to take her back to civilization by boat. which took several hours.
Oh, my God.
Her eyes were so bloodshot by this point that the people she encountered along the way thought she was some kind of devil.
Merged with a water dolphin.
No, a land dolphin. Space dolphin.
Space dolphin flying through the sky. I'm a space dolphin.
The next day, the space dolphin was reunited with her father.
No!
They held each other very tightly.
No way!
She had spent 11 days alone in the Amazon rainforest. Remember, 17 years old.
Oh my God.
Isn't this story just crazy?
That's insane.
She became known as the Miracle Girl and was hounded by Peruvian media and became world famous for her story of survival. One journalist was so desperate to get an interview that she pretended to be a nurse at the hospital.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's no good.
That is unethical. Mm. She received hundreds of letters from people she'd never met before. Some of the letters were simply addressed, Juliana, Peru. But they all found her way to her. They knew her to give
it to. She's like Cher now. She's the Juliana.
So that's some great news there.
Wow.
Juliana and her father waited for news of what had happened to her mother.
Yeah.
On January 12th, news came that her mother's body had been found in the jungle.
Alive!
Sadly not. Though, I don't like this bit. Juliana later discovered in a letter written by her father that her mother also initially survived the crash, but was badly injured and couldn't move. So she may have died several days later, which was really awful for her, obviously, to think about.
Why tell the dad that?
Well, basically, he knew that because he had to identify the body.
Right.
And when he saw the body, because he's a man of science, he was like, if she's been gone for 2 weeks in humid weather, she'd be really decomposed, but she looks quite fresh. So she was probably alive for a long time.
Oh.
I also read somewhere that they discovered that as many as 14 others may have survived the initial crash, but were unable to seek help and died awaiting rescue. So awful, I know.
But that is, like, it feels like that is almost what authorities would have told you to do. In something like that, stay close. Is that?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Normally, like, if you get lost in the bush, people, they say stay put.
My mum used to say that in the shopping centre.
Yeah.
If you get lost, stay put, and I'll find you.
Yeah.
But Jess, she knew to survive. First, you must find a stream, then a river, then you find the people.
Then you find a staff member at Target.
First, you get
say, you're floating down the river. Target!
Help me.
Help!
Can you please page my mum? Okay, what's your mum's name? I don't know. I'm 4. Just say mum.
Mum.
I haven't figured out her name yet. Mums have names?
Mum? Just page mum. She'll know. I know, she knows I call her that.
Sometimes I have to call Mum Annie now when we're out, because if I go, Mum, she doesn't turn around anymore. And I'm like, are you ashamed of me?
Has she forgotten she's a mum?
I don't know, maybe. It's
been too long.
Yeah, she's trying to forget. And I go, Annie, and then she turns. Oh, she turns, all right.
Mama.
Bit of aftermath. Not surprisingly, after this third crash, Lancer Airlines ceased operating.
Interesting, because not because of any kind of legal ramifications, because they ran out of planes.
They've got no planes left.
We've decided, with the current circumstances, not having any planes, we're probably going to take a little break.
On our terms.
Yeah.
And we're going to go back to fixing motorcycle engines.
That's crazy.
Isn't it just absolutely crazy that airlines like that could exist? There are some crazy airlines all around. Do you know, the Libyan National Airline is banned from most international airports. For example, you can't fly the Libyan air carrier to, say, London or something, because a lot of the planes don't have lights. Isn't that just the national air carrier? Isn't that just crazy?
I reckon you probably need them.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, especially for night.
Not flights.
What about inside the plane?
Inside the plane? No.
Especially for night.
No reading light?
No.
How will I read?
You get a torch.
Well,
one per row.
That's fine. Aww.
Work it out amongst yourselves.
I just hold it up on
like an
angle.
Old school torch, like flame.
I was imagining one of those camping ones that you have to wind. You wind for 20 minutes to get 2 minutes of light. I've never been camping.
We can tell.
Juliana initially returned to study in Lima, but journalists continued to hunt her, and her father suffered a panic attack, so sent her to live and study back in Germany, where she fully recovered from her injuries. Like her parents, she studied biology at the University of Kiel in Germany, graduating in 1980. She received a doctorate from Ludwig Maximilian University, great name, and returned to Peru to conduct research in mammalogy, specializing in bats. So she became a bat expert.
Mammalogy. I love it.
Brilliant.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, study of, if you see it written down, it's mammals.
Ah, mammalogy. Got it. I was like, mammalogy.
Yeah, no, it's a weird
thing. Being a mum.
Honestly, you see it written down, you're like, oh, I know what that is. You say
I'm
it out loud.
I'm an expert in mum. Mammalogy. Got it. Oh, cool. Bats. Bats are her thing.
In 2012, she published a memoir called When I Fell from the Sky. So for a long time, she didn't talk about it. And she avoided the media. But she still does the occasional interview. As of a couple of years ago, she was the head librarian and deputy director of the Collection of Zoology in Munich, where she met her husband, who is an expert on wasps.
Fuck yeah.
Did she? She had a head library?
Yeah, it's a library of heads.
Huh. Full on.
Yeah, the jungle will do weird things to you.
You know Futurama? They've just got all those heads of celebrities in, like, jars. It's like that.
Do you reckon that's what the future is going to be?
Fuck, I hope so.
We're going to just keep surviving in a jar.
Yep.
Especially people from like the 90s, the 80s, 90s, and today.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how all the people who were in jars there were from such a brief period of time.
Yeah, but that's just how it happens, I suppose. That's insane.
She's still devoted to her parents' research station, Panguana.
Still alive? I don't know why that's surprising to me.
Yeah, she's still alive, and her and her husband visit at least a couple of times a year to Peru.
She'll outlive us all.
So she
I
has
think.
To go on planes, which she amazingly can do. Apparently, she gets quite nervous flying, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I imagine she's pretty picky with her carrier.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably doesn't fly a Libyan Air.
No. Wow. A few years ago, Panguana became a nature reserve in Peru. The incredible filmmaker Werner Herzog made a TV documentary in 1998 called Wings of Hope, which is named after the inscription on the monument to the victims in Peru. There's a monument there. And the Wings of Hope are, there's also a monument to her because she was able to survive. You can watch it on YouTube and it's really great. He made the documentary because at the time of the crash, he was making a film in Peru and he was due to fly on the plane that was cancelled that I mentioned at the start of the episode because Juliana's flight was delayed.
Wow.
So he was basically getting on the next flight. And I've linked to the doco on the show notes. It's really good. It just goes for an hour. In 2010, Juliana, racked by survivor's guilt, said this, "I had nightmares for a long time, for years, and of course the grief about my mother's death and that of the other people came back again and again.
Mm.
The thought, why was I the only survivor? It haunts me. It always will."
Yeah. It would. And you'd also feel a lot of pressure, I think, to like make something of your life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like something, I was supposed to survive, or something meant that I was the one who survived. Now I have to do something with that life. That's crazy. That is amazing. And to think that other people survived for a bit and then didn't make it and she just kept going. That's incredible.
I know. That is the end of the report, but she is must be in our Hall of Fame of badasses.
Oh, my God. She's amazing. How incredible.
I just would have sat there and cried.
You'd need a fair bit of therapy, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Actually, she said the best therapy she had was, so in this documentary that Werner Herzog made, they go back, he flies her to Peru, and then they go back into the jungle, and she finds bits of the plane, which is still there. It's just the jungle's grown up around it, and they lift up bits of the plane, and it's got the markings still along it.
Holy shit.
Branding is still on the airline. It's so crazy. And she said that that was probably the best therapy she ever did because she had to go back and relive it with her husband alongside her, sort of giving her moral support. And, that was – she sort of had to confront those demons.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Dave, that was an amazing report.
That's fantastic.
Mate, thank you so much.
Can we give him a little golfer's round of applause?
And the suggester, the topic suggester?
Connor Wilson. I personally had never heard of this story.
No, neither.
So I just went through the hat and I was trying to find a varying one. So this was voted for by the Patreon people, I should say. And I'm glad. So basically I put three options in there and two of them were so neck and neck that they kept overtaking each other. And at some stage, I just had to start writing a report. So this was in front, and they kept overtaking each other. But I hopefully the people that voted for this, or the people that voted for the other one, which we will get to one day, were still satisfied with that.
This week's fact, quote, or question.
Oh, yes.
Oh, coming in from one of our delightful Patreon supporters.
Yes. So for those who don't know, if you're on the Sydney Scheinberg level on Patreon, you get to each week we take a different suggestion from someone in that group with a fact, a quote, or a question. Aww. And this week it's a question. And this week it's from one of our oldest and greatest supporters, Mr. Richard Frederick Schubert III.
Oh, the third. Oh, Trey, the third.
No, we got it.
Yeah, I mean, every little piece of that name is magnifique.
Like, I don't know why you wouldn't give that to your child.
Yeah.
Because it's so good.
What happens after the third? You don't hear of the fourths much.
No. I mean, only in royalty, really.
Right.
Well, you will when...
Oh, what the hell? Richard Frederick Schubert.
Yeah, the fourth.
Yeah, let us know. Are you planning to name one of your children after yourself?
They also get to give themselves a title. Mm-hmm. In the past, I've had titles like the Unbestable Nester and also the Most Average American and the Refreshments Liaison Officer, amongst others. But this week, Richard Frederick Schubert III, as if you'd even bother giving yourself a title, but he has. He's called himself the Caveman, which sounds like quite at the opposite end of the spectrum of what is
his
name sounds like. And the Caveman this week has asked us the question, what are your guys' favourite books, novels, graphic novels, and why? That's a //. So whatever you like. Do you want to hear his first before I go to you guys?
Yeah. Give us some inspiration.
He said, personally, I quite enjoy the Hellboy graphic novels. I absolutely love Mike Mignola's, the creator of Hellboy's, writing. His ability to combine elements of mythology, cosmic horror, and religion in such a cool and deep story really draws me in. If you guys haven't read any of the Hellboy books, or just any of Mike Mignola's works, I highly recommend them. Mm. Thank you so much, Caveman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Caveman, for the suggestion.
I've heard that a bunch of times, that Hellboy is a great graphic novel. This is going to be embarrassing to some. Possibly surprising. Possibly not. I've never read a graphic novel. Jess?
Are you asking me if I have?
Yeah.
I have, because I studied literature at uni.
So did I.
Well, one of them was like a children's literature, and there was a graphic novel in that.
Right.
I don't remember what it was called.
Oh, if you're talking picture books, sure. I've read a few of those. Spot Goes to College or whatever.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Probably not a real one.
No, that's the good stuff.
Richard Scarry's, as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Loved Richard Scarry's. That one where he went around the world. Forget whatever that one was. I think the books, probably the... My favorite book that I've read this year is a book called How I Escaped My Certain Fate by Stuart Lee, an English comedian. And a lot of people recommended him to me a lot. They're like, oh, you must like Stuart Lee. And I'm like, I know him, but I'm not really familiar with him. And I read this book and it was really great. He sort of, it was kind of like a little memoir, but it also included the transcripts from three of his festival shows annotated. So we talked about what it, you know, it was just really fascinating book. So I really, that's probably the one that I've loved most recently.
I like Stuart Lee. I once, when I was in the UK on a trip with my girlfriend, took her along to see Stuart Lee and she hated it.
Yeah,
really?
Because he's like a comedian's comedian. Like a lot of, I'm like, my friends would kill to be here. And she was like, this guy's so bad. So funny. It's like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, wow. Right. That's interesting.
And you're still together.
Yeah, amazing.
Did you ever get into graphic novels? Are you a comic book kid?
Yes, The Phantom.
Oh, of course.
Obviously.
Of course, the cheap Phantom. The only graphic novel I ever owned was, I used to like this band Coheed and Cambria that Matt and I were talking about off air.
Yeah, I was right into them briefly.
And I was also into them in high school, and basically they're like a concept band and they sing about, well, a concept.
Yeah, they're like a high-concept emo band.
Yeah, too hard to explain the concept. Because even I don't really understand it. They what they would do is they'd bring out comics that went along with the albums, but they did about four different series of they'd be like, nah, those comics, that's no longer canon. This is the new one. Buy this one. Nah. So, and one of them was they did a graphic novel. And I loved it. It was great. But then they stopped that and said, no, we're going back to the comics, the graphic novel. That's not it anymore.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I've still got it somewhere at home. But that's really my only brush with the
What about novels in general?
Yeah, favorite book.
I reckon if I went back and read it now, I wouldn't be as impressed with it. But a very influential book on me was when I was in year 10, about 16. My mum, I believe, got me a copy of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the Hunter S. Thompson classic. And I read that multiple times cover to cover, and I found it very inspiring because I didn't realize that you could write like that, sort of it's Gonzo-style journalism, and all this crazy shit's happening, and he takes a lot of drugs, and it's just so, so wild. And I didn't realize that that's what a writer could do.
Yeah.
And it inspired me, and I was like, I want to...
Take lots of drugs.
Yes. No, I want to cover the Mint 400, the motorcycle race. No, I want to be a writer is what I thought at the time. But And I haven't gone on to be a writer, so to speak. But I think it pushed me towards creative stuff.
Yeah.
So I still hold that novel dear.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'd probably put that up there. How about you, JP?
Comic book-wise, Archie Comics.
Oh,
was
wow.
Was about it.
Sugar. Mm-hmm, is that them? Mm-hmm, dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. Is that the Archie band? I think that was the first cartoon band to have a number one hit.
Yeah, I think that is the Archie band.
Yeah, I think so. But I didn't really do much in terms of comics. The books that spring to mind are always books that I read as a teenager or into my early 20s. I think same as what you were saying there, Dave, is that they're like books that probably influenced me or hit home for me at that time.
Yeah, sure. It came along at a developmental stage.
Yeah, I think now I tend to let things wash over me a little bit more and books don't really hit me as much. But like the books that I think I read Looking for Ella Brandy like a dozen times.
Whoa.
And then Melina Marchetta also wrote On the Jellicoe Road, which is like amazing. Although I haven't reread it as an adult, so like late 20s, I want to reread it because I remember just being like blown away because it was like there was two stories happening at the same time and then it all ties together. And I was just like, whoa, this is amazing. And the characters are sad and they're not just perfect people. And it was sort of like the first time it was an antagonist protagonist that I liked, but she had shit qualities. Like you could see things in her that were like a real person. I was like, you kind of suck at some things, but I'm still rooting for you. You know, that was kind of something as a teenager.
No, yeah. Well, that's a complicated character.
Yeah, it was. That was cool. And then more recently, I've liked a few like memoirs. I was reading when I was on Roadshow a couple of years ago, I was reading Magda Sabansky's autobiography, Reckoning. And a few times I'd be reading in the back of the car and I'd just have to like put the book down and I was just staring out the window for a bit. Like it just kind of, I related to it a lot. And I was like, wow. You know that feeling? You're just like, I can't read this right now. I just had to stare out the window for a bit, feel some things. She's a great writer. So many memoirs are written by people who aren't writers, who have done amazing things in different fields, but they're not writers. So you're kind of like, okay, it's a bit like, and then this happened.
Yeah.
And then I did this. And then this happened.
Then I won a Grammy.
Yeah, but hers is like, whoa, she's a great writer. So yeah, that's my answer.
I love it.
I rambled, but we got there.
Did you like that, caveman? That was for you.
He said he liked it.
Right.
I checked with him.
And we also like to do at the end of our episodes is thank a few other Patreon supporters. Woo-hoo! And we normally do it, Jess normally gives us a little game.
And while Jess is maybe thinking of a game, we should just explain that if you haven't heard us talk about Patreon before, it's a way of you guys, if you listen every week, supporting the show. And if you do so, you sign up at patreon.com/dogoonpod or check out our website, dogoonpod.com. And you get to vote on topics, so decide what the show talks about each week. You hear a little bit of gossip. Matt often has a little gossip column, if I could call it that, a newsletter type thing.
I would not call it that. It's a little catch-up.
A little catch-up sesh. You get shout-outs, which we're about to do now, and also two bonus episodes that no one else hears every single month. So if you want to check that out, it really helps the show, and we thank you for it. So, Jess, what are we going to do to thank these peeps?
We're going to name the locations that they were trapped in but survived.
Oh. Okay. So we, like geographical, so we'd say, would we say Peru or would we say the Amazon?
It could be anything.
I love it.
Dave, just before we do you want to apologize to someone who you butchered their name? Yes, I mean, we butcher people's names every week, so it's weird to apologize to single one out, Dave.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do it because I felt so bad. So I recently received a tweet about 2 weeks ago. We thanked Amy Gibbed. Turns out that I had copy and pasted that name incorrectly.
I fucking thought so at the time. I know, like, this so can't bad. Be Gibbed.
Your name is Amy Gibbs, and you are Dr. Amy Gibbs, and I apologize, and I'd like to say thank you.
Oh, maybe that's what you put the D in for, D for doctor.
Yes.
Gibbed.
Yes, please.
You've been gibbed. Does that mean she can't say Gibbs, can she?
Does that mean treated?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You walk out of the doctor's office, you've been gibbed.
You've been gibbed. Yep. Tell your friends.
And she goes, hi, I've been gibbed, and that's Dr. Gibbs off TV commercial.
Yeah.
Let's hear
from these happy gibbed customers.
Apologize.
Got gibbed.
Sorry, Amy.
I'd love to thank this week, Dave and Jess, if I may.
Please.
From Philadelphia in the
Pennsylvania.
Fair state of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Penn State, go Penguins. Andre.
Penguins chasing butterflies?
Go Pens.
Chasing pucks, Jess.
So cute.
Chasing rings. Do they get rings if they win?
They get cups.
Chasing the Stanley Cup.
No, they often give rings in American sports. They probably do get a ring.
Yeah, they love it.
I love a ring.
It would be cool. I mean, it's something you can wear.
Yeah.
On your fingers.
As opposed to a medallion.
Which goes in a cabinet.
I think the rugby league definitely follows American sports more, but they've got rings here as well. But AFL, it's all medallions. Medals. Medallions and cups. I'd love to thank Mr. Andre Rarig.
Oh,
Andre. I should say, Mr., but Andre. Andre Rarig from Philadelphia, born and raised.
And?
Yeah.
Survived, but was trapped in, but survived a playground.
Where he spent most of his days.
Yeah, chilling out, max and relaxing.
What are we talking, like a slide situation?
Yeah. No, they
there's a couple of guys.
They closed the park and they locked the gate and he was stuck there overnight, but they got out the next day.
Wow.
But it was harrowing.
I'd love to do a report on that survival story.
Yeah. I'd like you to do a report too.
Andre Rarig is bona fide badass.
His candy ran out on day four. He was well and truly home by then. Just eating candy.
And he went and got more candy.
Yeah, he got more candy. He was at the shop. The day it ran out, he was actually in a candy shop. Worked out real well.
Yeah, it was very convenient indeed.
I'd also love to thank, from Lancashire in Great Britain, sorry for the World Cup loss, Tasha Hargraves.
It's you're doing like a real ring announcer style.
Yeah, it's fun.
Intro.
In the red corner with the wheels of steel.
Wheels of steel, okay.
Jess is waving me off there. Tasha.
I think she was lost in a Toyota dealership.
Oh, okay. For
wheels
how
of
long?
Steel.
For how long?
17 minutes.
Whoa.
They went out to lunch, but it was a quick lunch because they work hard at Toyota.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. I have one of their cars.
Oh.
Still going strong.
Hell yeah.
It is an old car.
Drive it into the ground.
I will. Yeah. Wow. And Tasha survived.
Harrowing.
So brave.
So brave.
Couple of real, but yeah, I had a couple of heroes to thank.
May I thank some people?
Yeah, please do.
I would like to thank from Hawke's Bay in New Zealand. Sorry. Oh. Amy Rainford.
Oh,
Rainford.
So what is it? It's what they survived or what they escaped
where
from?
Where they were trapped.
Where they were trapped.
Nobody dies in this though. Okay. Everyone survives.
Amy Rainford. She was trapped in an icicle.
I was thinking a glacier. Yeah. Yes.
Great. She was frozen inside of it.
Wow. How long?
4 centuries.
So was she thawed out Austin Powers style?
She was thawed out Austin Powers she style. She was thawed out Encino Man style.
She had to piss for 9 minutes. Remember that scene? Yeah. I thought that was so funny.
She had a Swedish penis pump. That's not my bag, baby.
Oh, some of it holds up, I swear. Thanks, Amy. I'm glad you were thought out from several centuries ago, and you've taken well to the podcast technology.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. And I would also like to thank from Maple Valley.
Oh, delicious.
Wow.
What's WA? Washington? Do we have this conversation
Washington,
every time?
Yeah, we do.
Maple Valley, Michael Galvin.
Oh, what a great... Jesus. I've never heard such great names as names we thank at the end of the show.
That's a classic American name, isn't it? Michael Galvin. Galvin. Yes. Please, galvanate me to you. Sorry, a little keen there, Michael.
Yeah, back off.
Michael was stuck inside Mount Rushmore.
Wow, inside the heads.
Yeah.
The head library.
Inside one of the
mounds.
That's
the big head library.
Yeah. Like Richie Rich style?
Yes. Stuck in a mouth.
Which was actually, people don't know that, but that was actually, that film was based on Dave's life, his childhood.
Yes.
He had a McDonald's.
And we had a roller coaster machine.
Roller coaster machine. It made roller coasters.
Yeah. How do you think we got the fortune?
Yeah, smart. They worked for it.
Well, the people that maintained the machine worked for it. So, we paid them very little.
Michael was trapped for 3 days, actually.
Inside the heads.
Inside the mouth, because he was injured.
Which president's mouth was he
in? But they...
LBJ.
LBJ.
Oh, he wasn't there.
He's nah, very small head.
LBJ was the... You know that Lincoln... The time that Michael was trapped. Dave, if you'd let us finish.
Yeah.
LBJ...
All the way.
Reported to the media that Michael had been trapped inside...
George Jenkins.
There.
Meet George Jenkins.
Just George Jetson.
The far left.
Really? Stalin?
That is far left.
Anyway, continue.
All right. Thanks, Michael. I would like to thank... Well, it's my turn. I would like to thank from Shaker Heights. Whoa. That is a great name. Shaker Heights in Ohio.
Ohio.
Gazimas to you, Nicholas Gilbert.
Nick Gilb.
I love that. So, Shaker Heights. Wow.
Shaker Heights.
I mean.
Shaker Heights, Ohio. Can we go there, Dave? Can we go
Dave,
there, Jess?
Dave, please.
Can we go there, Dave?
Oh, I'm looking at where it is. It's close to... Akron.
Ooh.
Yeah, baby.
So that's a strong yes from me.
Tire country.
Fuck yeah.
And let me tell you, just
the
how far away
steel.
From Gary, Indiana, we're looking. Just a short 5-hour drive from Gary, Indiana.
We can put that on the Golden Mile trip.
Hell yeah.
That's another thing we should say. I think we're over 85% of the way to our American tour goal on Patreon.
That's right. And every person we've so far thanked are helping us get there. So thank you. Nicholas Gilbert from Shaker Heights, Ohio. Matt, where was he trapped?
He was trapped inside his own mind.
Wow. For how long?
For 3.5 million seconds.
Wow.
I don't know why I put it in those terms. But I just wanted to hear Dave figure it out.
It sounds like a lifetime. All right, let's do it. 3.5
This is good radio, Jess. Did you get away with this on Triple J?
Have you ever had a caller text in and say, how long is 3.5 million seconds?
I've never had that. I've never had a caller text in and ask that question, no.
Stick to maths, math boy.
All right, 3.5 million. So you got 60 seconds in it.
How I'm Googling. This is exciting. I'm going against the clock here. Oh, I Googled how Google.
How Google.
How long is, what did I say?
40 days?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a long time
that's
in your
a
mind.
Long time.
Similar to Jesus in the desert. So it was stuck there for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah.
Is that true or is that Noah's Ark?
And Noah's Ark was more, that was a much longer.
That was two of each.
Yeah. It's a whole different kettle of fish. Two of them.
So he was stuck inside his own mind for 40 days.
40 days.
But only 39 nights.
You know when you just get trapped in your own head on stage?
Story of my life.
Yeah.
I'm just two in my own head.
I'm just two in my own head.
Yeah. Thanks so much,
I just got to feel it.
Mm.
Just, you know, be there. Be present.
Be in it.
And finally, I would like to thank all the way from LBJ. I would like to thank, from Blackwall, New South Wales, Chloe Hawkins.
Oh, I love that name a lot.
Me too.
That is a rad name.
Yes. I'm a fan of Chloe.
That's a rock name. Star.
Good stuff, Chloe.
Chloe Hawkins. Yes. That's sick.
Wow. I think she was trapped in a jukebox musical.
In Siberia?
Yes.
Wow.
Like the bad comeback song from that band that Red Simons was in?
Skyhooks. Yes. Absolutely. Chloe Hawkins, thank you so much for your support from Blackwall. What a place. Let me just see if Blackwall's near Sydney and whether you'll be coming to our show.
And while he's doing that, I'm going to sing a little bit of Jukebox in Siberia, which I loved as a kid, by the way. But I've been told since it's a bad song. Here we go. A jukebox in Siberia. A jukebox in Siberia.
Well, let me just cut you off there, Matt, because Chloe Hawkins is only... If she left now, she could be at the Giant Dwarf Theatre in 1 hour and 16 minutes.
Whoa.
Worth it? Hell yeah.
Yes.
Walking or driving?
Walking. I mean, driving.
Oh, how long walking, though?
9 hours, 42 minutes.
What about public transport options?
No. Can you put it into millions of seconds?
4 hours, 9 minutes, public transport. Oh, that's not good, is it?
That's shocking.
We'll pick you up on the way through.
Yeah, it can't be that hard.
Can you pick up with a plane?
I think if we ask nicely.
Well, we'll be there in, about 6 weeks. So about three and a half million seconds.
Can your plane pull?
Oh, that's not far away, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon. Bloody zap fool. Me up.
Remember the penguin chasing a butterfly?
Yeah.
So cute. I'm going to pull it up and show you. Let's wrap it up so you can see the cutest thing ever.
All right, you guys Google it as well, and then we'll all watch it at the same time. And, whoa, I'm looking at it. thanks so much for listening to the episode. Bloody appreciate that. You want to rate us on iTunes? Always a bonus. You want to subscribe to us on YouTube? That's always nice. You want to go to our website, dogonpod.com, and then you can see all the links to everything you need to know for in ways to...
Oh, my God. There are multiple videos of this happening.
To contact us.
And while Jess is on YouTube, maybe I can also tell you that we're on YouTube at youtube.com/dogonpod. And if you subscribe there, we put up all the episodes there too. And there's a few other things, including live videos of some of the live episodes.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Finny Paul's last band.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Can I get a hell yeah?
Well, we're going to go. Matt's getting that black tooth grin. But until next week, I will say thank you and I will say goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
A jukebox in Siberia.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean... If you want, it's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.